cutting through the massive disinformation and propaganda to give you the truth about medical and political controversy. This is Truth, Medicine, and Politics with the executive producer of the award-winning film, American Addict, Dr. Gregory A. Smith. To get on air live with your questions or comments, call 800-222-5222. That's 800-222-5222. Or 800-ABC-KABC. And now, Dr. Gregory A. Smith.
And it is Saturday night, and I am back for Truth, Medicine, and Politics. This is Dr. Gregory A. Smith, and of course, I'm doing this show because there's clearly not enough truth in medicine or politics, and tonight we have a very, very exciting show. My guest is Stuart Swerdlow. He is the author of the book 13 Cubed, Case Studies in Mind Control and Programming. He's a medical intuitive. He's a lot of things. He's written several great books, and Stuart, are you there?
Yes, I am, and it's nice to be on the show with you.
Thank you so much for making time. I know you're super busy. You've been doing TV shows and all kinds of things, and I'm glad you're here because you talk about some things that are very different that a lot of our listeners may have never heard about. And I want to jump right into this with mind control, because when I think about mind control, I think about MK Ultra and the Nazis and things like this, and other people doing this and years ago and not happening now. But I know that that you talk about mind control from a couple different ways. People that have actually been taken and really subjected to some horrific things to control their mind, and then really the overall subliminal type mind control that we're all under in terms of just from a society standpoint. So let's start with the I think the softer thing first. Are we all under some type of mind control?
Yes. In fact, that's a very good question, because now in this 21st century, with satellite transmission, cell phone tower, computers, and iPhones, etc., any electromagnetic device is used to transmit carrier waves for mind control purposes. So in effect, no matter where you are on the world, all 7.4 billion people have some form of mind control. Most have general mass control to go along with the media and with the government, etc. But there is approximately 10 to 15% of the people, depending on their genetics and mind patterns, who actually have specific or intensive mind programming, mind control, and have deeper functions and fracturing of their personalities.
That is some of the things that I read in your book, 13 Cubed, which are really disturbing, and I want to get to that, but I want to touch on the mind control for the masses a little bit more. Are we talking about like things like watching television, or when things that we see in the media in terms of symbolisms and music and things like that? Is that a form of mind control also?
Yes, absolutely. And the media, the music industry in particular, but even movies, radio, television, they all have subliminal mind control triggers using words, colors, symbols, etc., combinations of these things that will activate a programming alter or function within a person or a group of people so that they act out on that function. And we find these trigger words and ideas being used throughout media, not only in this country, but globally. It's a global situation now.
And why is that? Is it for marketing? I mean, we know that when people are trying to sell products to people or a certain fashion or a new cell phone, this thing is implanted, and people obviously don't need a new cell phone. People function well before there were even cell phones, but a brand new cell phone comes out, and a person that's only had theirs for a year runs out and buys the brand new one. They'll stand in line for days to get the new version of the iPhone. Is that mind control, or is that just great marketing?
Well, it's a combination of both, because you actually have to market the mind control. And you're very correct, where they bring out a particular product, and then they enforce the idea mentally and subliminally that you absolutely need this product before everyone else has it. It's kind of, people have been familiar with the Star Trek movies and the civilization called the Borg, where they're part computer and they're part biological, but they're all hooked up to a central system where they're controlled individually and in a group. And if one individual is told to do X, Y, and Z, then it has to do that without any deviation. And so it is in our society. If a particular product or a fashion or even a style of music is released, there are subliminals that are projected out that enforce the public to accept it and to want it and to use it. And when it changes, it's kind of like Simon says do this, now he says do this, and they keep switching back and forth. One example of this, if people remember a couple of years ago, the actress, the singer, I don't know if I should mention her name, but she shaved her head. And next day, thousands of people across the country shaved their heads. Why? Because she was a programming icon. And so when she did something, everyone else had to follow, even though they had no idea why they were doing it.
Is there programming, do you think, to really see how people will react? And the example I want to give you is the Ebola scare that we had last year. When it first happened, I told everybody I knew, I said, this is not going to be what everyone thinks it's going to be. I thought it was a distraction. I thought it was actually a big distraction for the midterm elections, because the Democrats were getting crushed. And I just thought it was a way to get the focus off the real issues. And then I thought, well, maybe this is a test run to see how much panic, because there were people I knew personally that were afraid they were going to die of Ebola. And I told him, you have a better chance of being kicked to death by a donkey twice than dying of Ebola. There was people dying of a regular flu, way higher number. So is it a test run sometimes to see how people will react?
It can be so, but most of the time it is to instill fear. And they have learned from the time of the Nazis in the concentration camps and their experiments that when you put fear into the population will acquiesce to whatever rules and regulations you wish to impose. I knew, and if you keep track of these so-called illnesses, pandemic diseases, they're always announced like September, October. That's the time of year they bring it up, SARS, the various types of flu, Ebola, whatever it was, West Nile. It was always around September, October they released this information to scare the public into vaccinations, etc. And I called it Ebola, because it was a lie, and I knew it was a lie, because Ebola is hemorrhagic fever, and this was not. And I have friends in West Africa, and I asked them what's going on. They said, we have no idea. We don't have that here. They didn't know what I was talking about.
Amazing. Well, let's go to the more sinister part of the mind control, because a lot of people would feel like that if we're getting mind controlled to buy a new iPhone, that's not really that big of a deal, although I think it is. I think anytime you can sway a population to do anything, it's a little scary.
Yes.
But what's in your book, 13 Cubed, and I encourage everybody to get a copy of this. It is it's tough to read. I mean I've seen and heard many, many things, but some of the accounts, because I think they're written by the people that this occurred to, just heart-wrenching. Why were these people even picked? I mean, how did they get to be so unlucky to have this happen to them?
Well, again, I mentioned everybody has some form of mind control and programming to some degree. The people in that book were those I had worked with in deprogramming and in release work to undo the programming, because it affected their lives very severely. The people in that book had a certain genetic type. They had certain history, family history, mind pattern, etc., emotional levels that enabled a very deep layer of mind control and programming to be installed in them. And it affected their lives in every category, financially, in relationships, in interactions with others. And so they would come to me for analysis and deprogramming techniques, and I worked with every one of them. And they did very well. Most of them did very well. Of course, it's up to the individual then subsequently to continue the process and do their own work. Or not. And that's the choice that all the public has, to either accept or reject the information and the solutions to the information, and each one must make their own personal choice as to what they want their path to be.
Now, you yourself were a victim of this, I understand. Is that correct?
Yes, I was in the Montauk Project from 1970 to 1983.
And can you tell our audience what exactly is the Montauk Project?
Yes. And by the way, I want to tell everyone that there is a new movie out called Montauk Chronicles, which documents this story, and in fact my experiences in there. Montauk was an outgrowth of the Cold War and actually even World War II, and it was based on the fact that those who control the world, which are relatively few in percentage comparison to the total, realized that they could not stay in power and control billions and billions of people with the use of just rules and regulations and armies and military, etc. They had to find another way to control a vast population so that their civilization would not deviate from what these people wanted. And so the best form of this was mind control and programming. And so that's when Montauk began. And they used the scientists that they took from Project Paperclip, which after World War II, the U.S., Britain, and even Soviet Union took people, scientists from the Germans who were experimenting in this category, and they brought them back to the U.S. and Britain, etc., to continue the experiments. And these were the scientists and their information who continued in Montauk Project and other projects like it in order to learn how to create the software of mind control and programming using computers and satellite transmissions to then beam it out into the public, download it into the minds of the population, and then create a society that is under total control, literally with the flip of a switch.
This is something that a lot of people will hear for the first time, and they think that it's how can this be? This sounds crazy, but some of the things that you talk about, Project Paperclip, we've mentioned MK Ultra on this program before. These are not some conspiracy theory. These are declassified documents, so we know this happened. I think where people will start to argue about is the degree of things that happened, because as we know with MK Ultra, that started, I think, based in the Nazis and then was brought to this country. The party line or the government tells us that this ended, I think, in the mid-70s, which intuitively just doesn't make sense why they would stop a program that was seemingly successful. Stuart, this is amazing stuff. We're going to have to take a quick break. But when we come back, I want you to continue about that because I want to find out what your personal experiences were at the Montauk Project and then how you were even selected for that. But we're going to get into that when we come back. This is Dr. Gregory A. Smith. This is Truth, Medicine, and Politics, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Truth, Medicine, and Politics with Dr. Gregory A. Smith. To get on the air live with your questions or comments, call 800-222-5222. That's 800-222-5222 or 800-ABC-KABC. We'll be right back right after this break.
License and registration. Please step out of the vehicle.
If you are facing a DUI charge, then you need to take action. Just because your breath or blood test says you're over the limit doesn't mean you can't fight the arrest and win. But you have to act fast, because 10 days after your DUI, the DMV will automatically suspend your license. Hi, I'm attorney Darren Cavanocchi, founder of 1-800-NO-CUFFS. If you've been arrested for DUI and don't want to lose your license or go to jail, then you need to call 1-800-NO-CUFFS. At 1-800-NO-CUFFS, we can stop the license suspension and keep you out of jail. We've won thousands of cases, and our DMV win rate is nearly double the statewide average. So call 1-800-NO-CUFFS today. We've been keeping handcuffs off of good people for decades. How will you remember 1-800-NO-CUFFS? 1-800-NO-CUFFS.
Norm's has two ways to make your mouth water.
Enjoy your SoCal day sunny side up with Norm's USDA Choice Sirloin Steak and Eggs, two hotcakes, and hash browns. Sunny, sunny, sunny. Only $8.99.
Or stack up your rack with Norm's Baby Back Ribs. Complete rib dinners with golden fried shrimp, crispy chicken tenders, or juicy sirloin steak.
Oh, baby.
Starting at $11.99. Soup and salad included. Served all day.
Norm's is SoCal.
Norm's Restaurants, where life happens. Open 24/7.
18 locations. NormsRestaurants.com.
This Wednesday, start your holiday weekend with Terminator Genesis.
I've been waiting for you.
And hang on for the most relettless ride of the summer.
Get him off me!
You could have shot me.
Stop whining.
James Cameron declares you're going to love this movie.
Crank it!
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I'll be back.
Terminator Genesis. In real D3D and IMAX 3D. Rated PG-13. May be inappropriate for children under 13. Directed by Alan Taylor.
Want the truth? You're listening to Truth, Medicine, and Politics with Dr. Gregory A. Smith. To get on the air live with your questions or comments, call 800-222-5222. That's 800-222-5222 or 800-ABC-KABC. And now, Dr. Gregory A. Smith.
And we are back. This is Dr. Gregory A. Smith. It's Saturday night. You've gotten the numbers, 800-222-5222, 800-ABC-KABC, 800-ABC-KABC. You can email questions to painmd2012@gmail.com. That's painmd2012@gmail.com. My guest is Stuart Swerdlow. Just incredible information we're getting right now. I don't know how many calls I can take, but certainly email the questions. And I can already tell you, Stuart, I'm going to ask you to come back on another time because we have so much to talk about that I know we're not going to get it all done in 1 hour. But before we took the break, we were talking about Project Montauk and that you were there. Can you tell us a little bit about how that even happened to you and what were your experiences there?
Yes. Before I actually get into that, I want to remind the audience, those who find it incredible to think that the U.S. government would do such a thing, I want to remind everybody about the admission of the U.S. government of the syphilis experiments they did on black people in the South, and the experiments they did in the New York City subways in the 60s and 70s by spraying viruses to see how they would spread and not tell anybody about it. And also the virus bomb they dropped over Winnipeg and Manitoba to see how that would spread without asking anyone's permission, and on like that. So, yes, over the decades, the government has done some quite heinous work on the population without permission or explanation. But to go to your question, yes, they chose people originally who were considered expendable. For example, they would use derelicts, they would use foster children or children of drug addicts, etc., or alcoholics, people they considered that no one would miss, and they would test the experiments on those people. From the German scientists, they found information that said people with certain genetics or mixes of genetics were more valuable for use in input of certain types of mind control and programming because their genetics could hold more. My family background was one of politics. My great uncle, Yakov Sverdlov, was the first president of the Soviet Union. And my grandmother was a Soviet spy. My grandfather, who was the brother of Yakov, was sent to Britain to start the Communist Party and then to the United States to start the party there. And another great uncle, Benjamin Sverdlov, actually convinced the President of the United States to enter in World War I and to help finance the Russian Revolution. And he also, in the 1930s, created mind control and programming in the Soviet Union. So my background, oh, and by the way, my cousin Alexei, who was the son of Yakov Sverdlov, started the KGB.
Wow.
So my family background has this kind of cloak and dagger information in there. And so, and Yakov ordered the assassination of the Tsar and his family. And so this is my background. And because of that, my family in United States was very much monitored. questioned, phones tapped, mail opened. My father was taken to secret work under a mountain in El Paso back in the 1950s, and then he was followed by Secret Service. And so because of that, I was a likely candidate for use in Montauk because they questioned loyalties, they questioned what would happen if the U.S. were attacked or invaded. And so they used people like myself who had political backgrounds both here and in other countries for this purpose of mind control and programming. My experiences there were quite varied. I was used in genetic manipulation to also access what is called language of hyperspace to learn the symbols and energies that go beyond the physical.
Stuart, let me back up a little bit because I want to make sure everyone understands. When you say genetic manipulation, what exactly do you mean by that?
They were able to, even in those days, go into a person's genetics and alter it to manifest different characteristics and traits. And that's what they experimented.
And this was back in, this was in the 80s?
Well, 70s.
70s.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. Oh, you know, the technology that the government has is literally centuries beyond what's given to the public.
I see.
You know, people should understand that as well.
And so you were subjected to that, and was there any type of abuse or anything like that, or was it a pleasant experience, or did you even know what was going on when you were there?
Well, it was quite unpleasant, because what the Germans learned was that by putting people through severe trauma and torture, you are able to fracture the mind, so that the mind can be compartmentalized and each compartment then programmed into a full alter, a partial alter, or constructs, or whatever they wish to accomplish in that particular individual. So yes, it involved beatings, it involved drugs, it involved sexual magic ritual, very extremes to extremes, putting you in cold and then heat to starve you, then feed you, keep you awake, then make you sleep. And these extremes fracture the mind and cause an opening at the crown chakra and pineal gland so that information can be put in and also taken out.
Is it possible when a person has this done to them that they don't even realize that they can make it so the person can go on and think that they actually had a pleasant experience? I know that in your book, a lady, I think it was the second case study, mentioned that she said that her childhood was ideal and all these things, at least that's what she thought, until she started delving into this and getting deprogrammed, and then all these incredibly bad memories came through what she experienced. I think there was even one about her encounter with the ex-presidents.
Just
horrific stuff. So how is it that they can do these kind of things to people and then they don't even really remember?
They can both electromagnetically and chemically create masks or false memories that literally cover up the events. And they can program alters in the mind to come forward after these sessions so that the part of the personality that experienced torture and trauma is in the back, and then a new alter comes forward who did not experience that in the mind and does not have a recall of those experiences.
How does a person even know this happened to them? Is it possible that we have people listening or people just walking around living their lives and they have no idea this even happened to them?
I guarantee that your listeners, at least some percentage of them, have had experiences like this, maybe not in deep trauma at this point, but they certainly have had issues related to this because the whole world is programmed to one degree. There are signs, you know, people find scars on their body, they have dreams about an event that they don't remember experiencing, that others around them notice changes in their behavior, they may have missing time. There's many, many symptoms that would allow the person to realize that something odd has happened. And sometimes it's just the feeling that they have that something is off. They can't put their finger on what it is, but they know something was wrong.
So, Stuart, I the patients that I deal with are chronic pain patients and patients that have abused or have addictions, mainly to prescription drugs. That's what I specialize in.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've heard many, many times is that one of the things that's had people started abusing a drug, even they had nothing else going on, but it was trying to suppress or get away from thoughts, people telling me they've heard voices, or, and this is not like random, like the same kind of repetitive type things that they'll wake up and hear something or have the same type of dream over and over again, and people will start to medicate to try and stop that. And, you know, the medical establishment, the conventional medical establishment, will look at these people and give them psychiatric diagnosis, say they're psychotic, and give them even more medications.
Yes, right.
But is it possible that these are people that are not psychotic, that they're really actually, there's a breakthrough. I don't even know what the term is. I'm sure you know what there is, a term of people are having a breakthrough through their these compartments are maybe merging or something, so they're actually having some fragmented memories of what happened to them. Is that possible?
Yes, because what happens is, well, a couple of things. Sometimes there can be a programming overload, and that means too much has been input, and the mind and the nervous system cannot handle it, and so the overload bleeds through to the conscious mind, and then the person starts to have memory. They start to have maybe nightmares, physical symptoms, etc. And then other times, the core personality, depending on the individual, on the strength of their mind pattern, on the myelin sheathing of the nerves, sometimes the programming cannot access this person's mentality, and the core personality overrides it, and there's this conflict within. And that also is a way a person may realize that they've experienced something. And in addition, when mind control or programming is input three times, then it becomes genetically induced. And that means after the third input of the programming, the genetics create instructions in the cells that are related to the programming, and then that can be passed on to offspring, so that you can have children and grandchildren, etc., who have inherited programming from you or your ancestors.
Now, that's something I've not heard before. You're saying that so the genetic offspring, so to speak, don't even have to go through the trauma of the programming. It's already in their DNA.
Correct. That's right. And now, unfortunately, in the 21st century, the technology has gotten so advanced that they can program a person via satellite or cell phone or computer. You could be just walking around and having lunch, and you're being programmed.
Scary. That's very, yes. Very scary stuff. So, you know, when people are listening to this and hearing you, most people, that if they're having a problem like that, they're hearing voices, they're having bad dreams, they're going to go to a conventional medical doctor, and unfortunately what I think is going to happen is they're going to be diagnosed again with a psychiatric disorder and placed on medications, which I believe usually make the problem even worse and make
That's
them
correct.
Even more sick. What can a person do? Where can a person go if they're listening to you and they're experiencing some of these things?
Well, you're absolutely correct, because I have had clients who went to their therapist or their psychiatrist and mentioned that they have this issue, and almost in all cases they were remanded to psychiatric wards. And the reason is because the government is perpetrating this. It is illegal for a psychiatrist or a therapist to say, yes, you have mind control, because legally it doesn't exist. But I will also tell the public, just a few years ago, the government of Canada allowed their citizens to sue the U.S. government for mind control programming and experimentation that the U.S. performed on Canadian citizens. So Canada has admitted that this has occurred.
I see. We are speaking with Stuart Swerdlow. Fascinating conversation tonight. We're talking about mind control. And we're not just talking about MK Ultra stuff, but things that could be happening to anyone listening right now. Fascinating stuff. We will be right back after this message. This is Truth, Medicine, and Politics with Dr. Gregory A. Smith.
You're listening to Truth, Medicine, and Politics with Dr. Gregory A. Smith. To get on the air live with your questions or comments, call 800-222-5222. That's 800-222-5222. Or 800-ABC-KABC. We'll be right back right after this break.
I noted the tire tracks leading into the joint were different than the ones going out. Inside, clues were everywhere. Low prices, no appointment necessary. Someone needed new tires, and they needed them now.
Get up to $120 in mail-in rebates on select tires when you use the QuickLane credit card. QuickLane is ready to serve. Visit QuickLane.com. Subject to credit approval, rebate by prepaid debit card. Other tire manufacturer rebate or offer cannot be combined with QuickLane credit card rebate or offer. See your participating QuickLane for details through 6/30/15.
We here at Artio wanted to promote our app that gives you endless stations based on your favorite artist or genre right on your phone. So we hired this big advertising agency, and they were like, all brand alignment and paradigm shift. And we were like, what? And they were like, get out of our office. It's simple. Get the free Artio app, access our stations, or build one of your own for free until you say otherwise. Paradigm shifted. That's RDIO. Artio. Tuned to you.
Stories? You want stories? Stories about the legal system and notorious trials? Well, this week on Champions of Justice with Tom Girardi, our guest has a lifetime of fascinating stories. He's Superior Court Judge Michael Stern. Can you imagine his view from the bench? The chaplain paternity suit, Clarence Darrow, and even Abe Lincoln come up for discussion. Tune in, Champions of Justice, this Saturday afternoon at 2, here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
What if your phone wasn't just a phone? With Artio, it isn't.
It's a musical fire hose ready to pump your ears full of music.
It's a musical bloodhound tracking down that one perfect station based on your favorite artist or genre. Go get it, boy. With Artio, your phone isn't just a phone. Download the free Artio app right now and get your music any way you want for free until you say otherwise. That's RDIO. Artio. Tuned to you.
Want the truth? You're listening to Truth, Medicine, and Politics with Dr. Gregory A. Smith. To get on the air live with your questions or comments, call 800-222-5222. That's 800-222-5222 or 800-ABC-KABC. And now, Dr. Gregory A. Smith.
And we are back at Saturday night. My special guest is Stuart Swerdlow. We are talking about a lot of things, but mind control, MK Ultra. He's talking about his personal experiences, and we're talking about some of the experiences in the book 13 Cubed, Case Studies in Mind Control and Programming, a fantastic book. A lot of it's hard to read. Some of the stories are heart-wrenching, but it's something that we all need to face and look at. Stuart, before we went to the break, we were obviously talking about the mind control, more of the details of how the mind gets fractured, how people can actually have been programmed and had horrific experiences and yet can be walking around and not even know they've had these experiences. And then finally, when people start to have breakthrough, like they'll having bad dreams, they're hearing voices, they know something's off, they go to the doctor, and what happens? They get a psychiatric diagnosis and get put on pills, which often makes the problem worse or even institutionalized. Which, again, makes the problem worse. We were talking a little bit about what a person can do. I want you just to reiterate, what can a person do other than go to a regular conventional doctor if they're thinking they're having these things occurring in their life?
Well, if they do feel that they have these in their life, I would not recommend going to a conventional medical person because, as I mentioned previously, they will be given drugs or remanded to a mental facility because I've seen that happen. And you're correct, the drugs that are given have heavy metals in them that embed in the physical structure of the person, their bones and cells, and they become like a walking antenna, and then they pick up more mind control transmissions. So that's why I wrote books like 13 Cubed and another one, True Reality of Sexuality, where I actually describe the programming process and give the deprogramming techniques. I also have deprogramming techniques in my Hyperspace Helper book, as well as on many videos on YouTube from on my YouTube channel, which they can access through my website, expansions.com. So I do recommend going unconventional to do the deprogramming techniques. I teach them. I do seminars on them. I do personal consultations. I'm training people to do this and teach others to help others as well all over the world. I just completed two films in Czech Republic related to this topic, which hopefully will be released in the next year. So there are some unconventional ways that they can go in order to deprogram themselves and reintegrate the fractured compartments of their personality.
What did you do to get help? I mean, you went through this for how many years were you subjected to this?
Well, I, again, in the Montauk Project, I was there for 13 years. And then, subsequently, it took me a good 20 years to really get into the deprogramming, mainly because after the project crashed, government deprogrammers descended on me and basically tried to download the information that I had because they thought I was going to die. And so they didn't care if I survived it or how I reacted to their deprogramming techniques. And so I realized afterwards the only one's going to help me is me. And so I had to create, based on what I knew and what I experienced, I had to create deprogramming techniques that balance the left and right hemisphere of the brain, that are able to balance the energy systems of the body so that the person is intact at all times, and to literally merge the fragmented pieces, energetically sew them back together so that the person can have a whole core personality once again. And so that's what my work is about, making the person whole again.
What do you say to people that say that this sounds so far out that it's a conspiracy, that how can our government do these things? And you obviously said Tuskegee Project and other things. We know a government has done some bad things, but the way that it sounds, it's our medical system, the political system, everyone's sort of in cahoots. I personally believe that a lot of people in these industries don't even know. They're just sort of doing what they were programmed, so to speak, to do, and it's the agenda of a few that's getting this off. But how would you respond to people that say this is not doesn't sound like it's possible, that it's crazy, that if I have a problem like that I should go to a regular doctor? Do you encourage them to seek out regular help until and see that it fails and then maybe look to some alternative? What would you say to people like that?
Well, first of all, I'm not legally or able to tell people not to go to a doctor if they want to. If you want to go to a conventional doctor, you should go, but I will say you're not going to get the help you need there. And as far as the people who don't believe that the government can do this, well, you know, on September 10th, 2001, if I said, hey, the U.S. is going to be attacked tomorrow and the World Trade Center is going to collapse, would anyone believe me? They'd think I was nuts. But it happened. You know, and if people in World War II were told that the U.S. put Japanese people in concentration camps, nobody knew that until after the war. No one would believe the U.S. would do the same things as the Germans did. And I could give a long list of things that the government has done that people would never have believed, but they did it.
But you bring up 9/11, and you said that on 9/10, September 10th, that someone said it was going to happen. Who said it was going to happen the day before 9/11?
Well, I had written about this in my Blue Blood, True Blood book 15 years ago. I said that the government will create a situation where it would turn the world against Muslims, and that's what happened. But no one would believe that the government could do such a thing, you know, and there's many more things I could tell people that are happening now and that will happen that they may not believe, but just about everything I've written about has come true.
What is the end game? I look at this, you know, when I read about these things and I hear about Illuminati and elites and, you know, deep world depopulation and all these different categories, I always think them are all these different things. I always think to myself, what is the end game? To just have ultimate control over people? Because if you get rid of too many people, there's got to be enough people around to do the grunt work, so to speak. Is it just that there's a small group of people that just want to literally control the human race like animals or robots?
Well, unfortunately, it's always been like that. There has always been a small group of people that have controlled the larger group. And through the use of religion, military, education, slavery, what have you, they have used various methods to control people. But ultimately, they have found that mind control and programming is the best and easiest way to control the billions of people. And that's what they're doing.
When you look at, and I want to step back again, just some of these questions I just want to ask you myself about the entertainment and sports. There seems to always be certain people that are very gifted, and it's easy to understand how they excel at a sport or entertainment. And then there seems to be another set of people where they don't seem to be that much more gifted than any other person, but they just, for whatever reason, seem to become incredibly popular, incredibly successful. And then you see these YouTube videos of people saying that they, quote, sold their soul to the devil and things of this nature.
Yeah.
What do you think? Is this all part of this same, or is that something, are they really selling their soul to the devil? What's your opinion on that kind of thing?
Well, that's kind of a related but separate category, because a lot of the people in the politics and in the entertainment industry do give up something or give up their rights to their life in order to gain fame and fortune. These are called programming icons, which means that they do a particular act and the population follows. You hear a certain song and you do a certain function. And in politics especially, you will notice that the ones who have achieved the very high levels usually have sacrificed someone in their family, usually a child or a spouse, but someone has been sacrificed for this person to gain the higher levels of power. And we see this all the time, especially in politics.
And when you say sacrifice, I mean, I know what you mean by that, but is this, and I'm just going to use real names here because it's just things that you see in the news, but when you look at, like, President Biden, whose son just recently died, unfortunately, cancer, I think when Vice President Biden was a young politician, I think his entire family was wiped out.
His wife and daughter, yes.
So is that a form, I mean, is that just a bad incident? And I'm not trying to say that that was a sacrifice or not, but when we think of sacrifice from a ritual where people are burned or killed literally in front of a group of people, is that what we're talking about, or are we talking about a bad event happening to a family member, or are they one and the same? I'm not sure if I'm making myself clear on that question.
No, I understand what you're saying, because there are global rituals where sometimes an entire group of people are sacrificed, and then there are individual rituals where a member of a family is sacrificed as an exchange for this other person to gain fame and fortune and power within the ranks of the Illuminati, or those who are in power in the country and in the world. It's part of their religion. They don't believe spiritually in the same way others believe. They have a very different system, one where sacrifice and ritual and sexual magic are what they perform.
My guest is Stuart Swerdlow. We are talking about mind control, MK Ultra. We're discussing his book, 13 Cube, Case Studies in Mind Control and Programming. Fascinating, very fascinating. We're going to take a quick break, but Stuart, when we come back, I want to change a little bit to a different book that you wrote about, and it's talking about the sexuality, the feminization of men, this type of thing. And I want to discuss that when we come back. You're listening to Truth, Medicine, and Politics with Dr. Gregory A. Smith, and we will be right back.
Norms has two ways to make your mouth water.
Enjoy your SoCal Day Sunny Side Up with Norms USDA Choice Sirloin Steak and Eggs. Two eggs, two hotcakes, and hash browns. Sunny, sunny, sunny. Only $8.99.
Or stack up your rack with Norms Baby Back Ribs. Complete rib dinners with golden fried shrimp, crispy chicken tenders, or juicy sirloin steak.
Oh, baby.
Starting at $11.99. Soup and salad included. Served all day.
Norms is SoCal.
Norms Restaurants, where life happens. Open 24/7.
18 locations. NormsRestaurants.com.
This Wednesday, start your holiday weekend with Terminator Genesis.
I've been waiting for you.
James Cameron declares Terminator Genesis has reinvigorated the franchise.
What have they done to my son?
Not man, not machine. I'm more.
You're going to love this movie.
Crank it!
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I'll be back.
Terminator Genesis. In real D, 3D, and IMAX 3D. Rated PG-13. May be inappropriate for children under 13. Directed by Alan Taylor.
Want the truth? You're listening to Truth, Medicine, and Politics with Dr. Gregory A. Smith. To get on the air live with your questions or comments, call 800-222-5222. That's 800-222-5222. Or 800-ABC-KABC. And now, Dr. Gregory A. Smith.
And we are back at Saturday night. My guest is Stuart Swerdlow. We are talking about several topics, MK Ultra Mind Control. He is the author of the book 13 Cubed: Case Studies in Mind Control and Programming. And if you've missed any of this broadcast, you have to get the podcast, where you can get off my website, drgregorysmith.com, drgregorysmith.com, very easy to remember. It's also archived on kbc.com. Stuart, before we took the break, I told you we wanted to really shift gears here and talk about a different book that you wrote, The True Reality of Sexuality. And I have two sons. One just turned 8, and another one just graduated from UCLA. And my son in college, from the time of high school and at UCLA, he's commented many times how he's seen over just the last 6 or 7 years this real shift, blurring of the lines of male and female gender, men acting and dressing more feminine, people not identifying to one gender or another. Is this something that is on purpose? I mean, I've heard before for people that talk about population control, there's a push for this because it helps people not populate. What is your opinion on that?
Yes, and I did write about that in several of my books, and the purpose is to create an androgynous population.
What do you mean by androgynous? I want to make sure everybody understands what you're saying.
Yes, male and female in the same body, no differentiation, which is part of, without going into that category, because that's a whole other topic, it's part of the religion of these people who are in control.
Mm-hmm.
You people interested can read the Blue Blood book, I discuss that, and also my True World History book, I discuss that. But yes, you're correct. It's also part of what I call the Michael Jackson syndrome, where he was used as a programming icon and so heavily programmed that he didn't know if he was male or female, black or white, human or alien. He had no clue of his identity. And that's one of the points, to remove the idea of self-identity so that you become one of the masses, a drop of water in the ocean, so to speak. And that's why we are seeing people like Bruce Jenner become Caitlyn. We see the woman who ran NAACP is really white and not black, but she thinks she's black. And on and on throughout, especially entertainment industry, where, you know, sometimes you look at these people, you don't know what they are. And, of course, there's the whole idea of transgender and having special rights. I just read a story the other day of a 9-year-old boy. I think this was on a podcast, or it will be on a podcast soon. A 9-year-old boy who decided he was a girl, so his mother put a blonde wig on him and dressed him like a girl. Now, a 9-year-old has no clue about sexuality, or shouldn't have, anyway. And so they're encouraging through the media for parents to not allow their children to have any specific gender.
But why? What's the point of doing this to the society?
Very good. Very good question, because remember, programming, mind control, you have different alters. Not all of them are same gender. You have female alters, male alters, animal alters, insect alters, and on and on and on. So if you have alters come forward, then they must take on the identity of that particular alter. So if you are a white person but you have a black alter, well, then you're black. And if you're a little boy and you have a girl alter, then you can become a little girl. So that people become fluid. There's no distinct identity. There's no distinct race. There's no distinct religion. Everything is all one and mixed up and jumbled. And in that sense, there can also then be no national identity or racial identity or genetic identity, so that everyone is just part of the big computer system. Everyone becomes a computer chip that performs its function as programmed, and there is no sense of differentiation.
And everybody's happy except for the people at the bottom. only if you are happy in that situation. And Stuart, Kelly here is in the studio with me. She has a question that she's anxious to ask you, so I'm going to let her take over here for a second.
Hi, Stuart. Thanks for being on the show. We're thrilled. In your book, The True Nature of Sexuality, you talk about the polarity of male, of the masculine and feminine in this density, and how that is the prime point of creation. Do you think that that's a part of the disempowerment of humanity by making people androgynous?
That's correct, because in being androgynous, then who's the male, who's the female, who has the baby, etc. So in that case, in order to procreate, you go through cloning, artificial wombs. There is no mother, there's no father, there's no parental structure or family structure. Everyone is singular and isolated, and then more easily controlled.
And then conversely, how can we be empowered with our sexuality by using it in a way that is within our own autonomy and our own control, and it's not exploited in a way that is powerful to create our reality?
Yes, and that's what I teach. I teach people to access the true nature of their core personality within and connect to their oversoul and the God mind and let their true nature come out and use the 90% of the brain that's not used, the 97% of DNA that isn't used. We must access this and open it up and have it become available to us and literally become human beings again.
You know, what I see when we talk about this subject, it's dangerous in the sense that when you talk about homosexuality or transgender and these type of things, people can accuse you of being homophobic or against these things. And I don't know, I know for me personally, that's not where I'm coming from. I'm just trying to understand why these things are happening at a much, much higher level than they were. Because you mentioned Bruce Jenner, who's now Caitlyn Jenner, and I saw that interview with, I think it was Diane Sawyer, and I really felt for the guy at that time, because it seemed like this was nothing new. This is something he had been struggling with his whole life, and I really felt was genuine. But since that interview with the Vanity Fair cover, and now I'm told he's getting a reality show for it. It seems like it's back to the exploitation. So
yes.
Is it him, or is he being used as a tool for the population to look at and say, transgender is a great thing, this is what we should be, it's nothing wrong with it?
It's a combination of both, because people, and I do understand that there are people born in a gender and they don't identify with that gender. And I explain it as the soul personality having many, many lifetimes. Very often there is a case where they have incarnated as a particular gender for many times. And so in order to balance, they need to incarnate as the other gender in order to balance the energy. But after so many lifetimes on one side, they feel uncomfortable being in the other side, and so they want to change back. And I understand that. But in my opinion, it's obliterating the purpose of that lifetime. You're born into a gender for a reason. It's not an accident. There's no accidents in creation. So my feeling is you need to understand why you have that gender and to be that gender and to act with that gender. I have nothing against homosexuals. My brother-in-law is gay. A lot of my friends and clients are this way. I have no problem with that. But there's the need to understand why is it so? What is the mind pattern and what should be done about that? Everyone should have equal rights. You know, look, if I like vanilla, does that mean I should have special rights because you like chocolate or strawberry? You know, it's getting to the point where everyone needs special rights because they paint their fingernails a certain color. You know, it's getting ridiculous.
Couldn't agree with you more. Stuart, we are pretty much out of time. I just want to take a second here to thank you. I think everyone should get your book. We have several books, but 13 Cubed, Case Studies in Mind Control and Programming. Also, your book, True Reality of Sexuality, and really your website. Tell us your website again, where people can reach.
Yes, it's expansions.com, and it's a one-stop shop. We have alternative health, we have mind control, deprogramming, mind pattern analysis, dream analysis, herbal products, healing techniques, radionics. Everything's on there. History. Whatever you want, you can find it on there.
And you have the books that you've written on that site also, which is great. Stuart, I want to thank you so much for coming to the program tonight. And for any of you that catching the end of this, please get the podcast on drgregorysmith.com. It's drgregorysmith.com. It's also archived on kabc.com. Stuart, I appreciate you being on the program. And you've been listening to Dr. Gregory A. Smith on Truth, Medicine, and Politics. And I will see you next Saturday night.